How many of you would like more faith? Amen. Amen. Let's start with one more word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for giving all of us a measure of faith. Lord, help us to understand how it is that we can increase our faith. Please pour out your Spirit on us. Speak to us. Give us understanding. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have this file at home where I collect my favorite prayer stories. And I have a story about George Mueller here that I want to share with you. When George Mueller reached the age of 70, instead of retiring, he began traveling internationally, telling people about God's faithfulness and his ministry with the orphanage. And one time he was crossing the Atlantic. And I want to share with you the story as it was told by the ship captain. We had a man of God on board, George Mueller of Bristol. I had been on that bridge for 22 hours and never left it. I was startled by someone tapping me on the shoulder. It was Mueller. "Captain, I have come to tell you I must be in Quebec on Saturday afternoon." "Impossible," I exclaimed. "I have never broken an engagement in 50 years," he replied. I answered, "I am willing, but I am helpless. We are in a fog." "Let us go down to the chart room and pray," said George Mueller. I looked at him and I thought to myself, what lunatic asylum could the man have come from? I never heard of such a thing. I said, "Mr. Mueller, do you know how dense the fog is?" How do you think this man of God responded to that question? "Do you know how dense the fog is?" I asked this question to a group of young people, and this one young man said, "Fog? What fog?" I like that answer. "Mr. Mueller, do you know how dense the fog is?" "No," he replied. "My eye is not on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance of my life." He got down on his knees and prayed a most simple prayer. "Oh Lord, if it is consistent with thy will, please remove this fog in 5 minutes. Thou knowest the engagement thou hast made for me in Quebec for Saturday. I believe it is thy will." When he finished, I was going to pray, but he put his hand on my shoulder and told me not to pray. "First, you do not believe he will. And second, I believe he has, and there is no need to pray." According to the ship captain, the fog lifted just as Mueller had requested. But the weather wasn't the only thing that cleared up that day. The captain also reported that the event completely revolutionized the whole of my life. Amazing story, huh? What does the Bible say about faith? Hebrews 11, verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Is faith important to God? If we want to live lives that please and bring honor and glory to God, we must learn to live by faith. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." If we want to experience a victory in the Christian life, faith is so important. Romans 14, verse 23, "For whatever is not from faith is sin." Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as was to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." When we hear the word of God, when we study the word of God, without faith, the word of God can be unprofitable to us. In Luke chapter 18, verse 8, Jesus says, "When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" The last days, faith is going to be a rare commodity. I like the words of Hannah Whittle Smith in her book, The Christian Secret of a Happy Life. She says, "Our Lord asked the pathetic question, 'When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?' He will find plenty of activity, a great deal of earnestness, and doubtless many consecrated hearts, but shall he find faith the one thing he values more than all the rest. It is a solemn question, and I would that every Christian heart would ponder it well. Ellen White says, we may expect large things, even the deep movings of the Spirit of God, if we have faith in his promises. Our greatest sin is unbelief in God. You know, I believe some of the greatest sins that we commit, other than the sin of faithlessness, is the sin of prayerlessness and the sin of thanklessness. Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, it says, now he did not do mighty works there because of their unbelief. He's in his own hometown. And in his own country, he cannot do many mighty works because of their unbelief. And I wonder if God desires to do more through you, in your community where you live, in your home, and in your church, but he cannot simply because of your unbelief. Ellen White says, every failure on the part of the children of God is due to their lack of faith. Is faith important? What is faith? Faith is believing. But faith is more than believing. Faith is trusting God. But faith is much more than trusting God. You know, I think it's hard in one sentence to say exactly what faith is. I've got a number of definitions that I've collected. And I want to share these various definitions that I have. And as I go through these definitions, I want you to ask the question, am I living by faith? By any of these definitions, am I living by faith? Faith is an acronym. Forsaking all, I take him. Okay. All would include your plans, amen? By the way, it's been said that if you want to make God laugh, what can you do? Tell him your plans. Okay. And all would include your own understanding. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. And how often it is that we lean on our own understanding, we fail to trust him, and therefore God is not able to show us his plans for our life. I believe that if we were to forsake all and let God take control of our lives, he would show us a plan far better than any plan we could come up with for our lives. Faith is also an acronym for fantastic adventures in trusting him. When you look at your life, can you say that your life is one adventure, one exciting adventure? In Psalms 34, verse 8, it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. The individual who gets to taste and see that God is good is the one who has learned to trust in him. As my one friend Kelly Veyu puts it, are you willing to leave your comfort zone that you may enter the faith zone? Ellen White says, in Education, page 253, faith is trusting God, believing that he loves us and knows best what is for our good. Thus, instead of our own, it leads us to choose his way. I like what George Mueller has to say about faith. He says, in the simplest manner in which I am able to express it, I answer, faith is the assurance that the thing which God has said in his word is true and that God will act according to what he has said in his word. This assurance, this reliance on God's word, this confidence is faith. No impressions are to be taken in connection with faith. Impressions have neither one thing nor the other to do with faith. Faith has to do with the word of God. Probabilities are not to be taken into account. Many people are willing to believe regarding those things that seem probable to them. Faith has nothing to do with probabilities. The province of faith begins where probabilities cease and sight and sense fail. Now, is what George Mueller is saying, is this consistent with the Word of God? George Mueller says, appearances are not to be taken into account. The question is whether God has spoken it in his Word. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Our ministry plans annual mission trips out to Southeast Asia. And you know what the number one excuse is that I hear from people about why they can't join us for a mission trip? It's simply because they don't have enough money. Okay. Now, if you're making a decision based on how much money you have in the bank, are you walking by faith or by sight? Sight. Okay. Why? Because God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns all the silver and the gold. The question is not, do I have enough money? What is the important question? What is God's will? Does God want me to go on this trip? Does He want me to be in Southeast Asia from such and such a date to such and such a time? Okay. Once God says go, what do? By faith? You can start packing your bags and trust the Lord to provide you with the money. Amen? In Matthew 8, verse 10, it says, when Jesus heard it, He marveled and said to those who followed Him, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Who was Jesus speaking about? Jesus was speaking about the centurion. In verse 5, it says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to Him, pleading with Him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that You should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. All he needed was what? The word of God. And that was faith. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go and he goes, and to another, come and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. Reading once again. Faith is assurance that the thing which God has said in His word is true, and that God will act according to what He has said in His word. This assurance, this reliance on God's word, this confidence is faith. Luke chapter 17, verse 5, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. How much faith would you like? Would you be content if you had faith the size of a mustard seed? Wouldn't that be great? You know what Jesus says if you have faith the size of a mustard seed? Jesus says, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. All right, so how to increase our faith? The first thing I want to suggest is get involved in mission work. If you want to see your faith grow, get involved in mission work. Now, is this in Scripture? In Scripture, does it tell us get involved in mission work if we want to see our faith increase? In Mark chapter 16, verse 14, it says, later He appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen Him after He had risen. Did the disciples struggle with unbelief? This is encouraging to me because these disciples, they walked and lived with Jesus for 3.5 years. And still they struggled with unbelief. So don't be discouraged if you still struggle with unbelief after 30 years, okay? No, I hope it hasn't been 30 years for you in the faith. What does Jesus say in the next verse? And He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. To these people who are faithless, who struggle with unbelief, Jesus tells them to go into all the worlds to fulfill the Great Commission. Okay? I believe there's something about doing God's work that helps to increase our faith as we see God at work, as we are co-laboring with Him. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is nurtured by the Word of God. So we need to spend much time daily in the Word of God. Ellen White says, if you want faith, talk hopefully, cheerfully. Okay. We've got to put aside that negative talk, the complaining, and we've got to talk faith. Okay? Friends, we are on the borders of the promised land. And there are many who could not enter in because of their murmuring and their complaining. We've got to learn to talk of faith. C.T. Studd was a great missionary who followed Hudson Taylor to China. He later served in India and in Africa. And I love this quote by C.T. Studd. He says, "Funds are low again. Hallelujah. That means God trusts us and is willing to leave his reputation in our hands." This is talking faith, amen? Okay. Friends, when you don't have enough funds, or maybe because you lost your job, say, "God, thank you. I trust you. It's an opportunity for me to exercise my faith. I know you're going to come through for me." Okay. Ellen White, in Evangelism, page 633, she says, "Let us take heed to our words. Let us talk faith, and we shall have faith. Never give place to a thought of discouragement in the work of God. Never utter a word of doubt. It is as seed sown in the heart of both speaker and hearers to produce a harvest of discouragement and unbelief." Okay. Do you have friends that are always talking doubt and unbelief? Always talking negatively? If you want to grow in faith, it might be good to find new friends that are talking faith. Talking positively. Ellen White says, "Take the word of Christ as your assurance. Has he not invited you to come unto him? Never allow yourself to talk in a hopeless, discouraged way. If you do, you will lose much. By looking at appearances and complaining, when difficulties and pressure come, you give evidence of a sickly, enfeebled faith. Talk and act as if your faith was invincible. The Lord is rich in resources. He owns the world. Look heavenward in faith. Look to him who has light and power and efficiency." Matthew 9:29, Jesus heals men of their blindness. And then he says, he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." According to your faith. If you have great blessing, pardon me, if you have great faith, you'll experience great blessing. And if you have little faith, little blessing, and no faith, no blessing, according to your faith. There's a beautiful story that illustrates this. The 12 spies come back after spying out the land of Canaan. And this is the report they bring back. "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.'" Verse 28 says, "Say to them, 'As I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. According to your faith. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. You shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in.'" Do you understand how important it is that we, in the last days, learn to walk by faith and are talking faith? Hebrews 11, verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." A year ago, last summer, my wife and I were at the Soquel camp meeting, which was put on by the Central California Conference. We had come down from Seattle, Washington, to attend the camp meeting. After camp meeting was over, we were going to drive back home to Seattle, pack all our belongings into a U-Haul, and then travel out to Barron Springs, Michigan, where we were gonna work. We were working out of the Northwest for a while, waiting for a home to sell. Because it had sold, we were gonna move on out after camp meeting. We're at camp meeting, Elder Paratsara is there sharing a number of messages. One Sabbath morning, he's sharing this message about faith, and I was not there for the entire message, but my wife was there, and she was being inspired by this message where he shared a lot of the same quotes that I shared with you today. And as he came towards the end of his message, he shared the story about Alexander the Great, the mighty conqueror. What is not known about Alexander the Great is that he was a man with a compassionate heart. And once a year, he would set aside this day where he would show his compassion to the people. And the people in his kingdom would come and would form a line and would come to a servant making requests for things such as food, clothing, medicine, and the servant would take the requests to the king, and as the king would hear the request one by one, he would grant the requests. Well, there was this one individual that came to the servant and said, "I would like a palace. I would like a fully furnished palace." And the servant felt a little uncomfortable and tried to persuade this individual not to make this request to the king. But the man was persistent and continued and said, "I would like a banquet table prepared in this palace because I want to invite all my friends to come for a dinner in this palace." Well, the servant decided not to take this request to the king. But King Alexander was watching this conversation take place, and he asked the servant to come over because he wanted to know what this man's request was. And so the servant eventually came to the king and shared this man's request. The king listened very carefully, and he said, "I will grant this man his request." Now this took the servant by complete surprise. And he said, "King, may I ask why you have decided to grant this man his request?" And this was the king's reply. The king said, "A lot of people are coming to me with requests for things like medicine, food, clothing, things that other people can easily provide for them. But only this one man has come to me with a request that only I, as a king, can fulfill. This man makes me feel as though I am a king." And my wife heard that story Sabbath morning, and she was thinking about the little house that we had been praying for, that God would provide for us when we move out to Barron Springs. We decided not to make a trip in advance to find a home. We decided just to make a trip out there and trusted God that He would provide for us a nice little home that we could rent, a nice little home that would just be sufficient for our needs. We'd been praying for a few months, specifically for a little home that would be near the office, walking distance, and with so many bedrooms, etc., etc. And as my wife heard that story, she said, "Lord, I have been praying for a small house, but now I will begin to ask you for a palace. I pray that you will provide us with a palace." Now, what do you think about this story? Ellen White in Desire of Ages, she says, "He is well pleased when they make the very highest demands upon Him, that they may glorify His name. They may expect large things if they have faith in His promises." Well, my wife and I, we drove back home, and we packed that U-Haul, and then we began that long trek out to Barron Springs. We left on a Monday morning, and we got there by Thursday evening. We're going to spend the night at a friend's home, and then the next day, Friday, we're going to go look for that palace. Well, we got up in the morning, and my wife was feeling a little anxious, and during her morning devotions, she was reading Psalms chapter 6 through 40, Psalms chapter 6, 47 and 48, and she came across the word palace a couple of times. She comes running out and she goes, "God is going to give us that palace." And so anyways, we went out. We stopped by Apple Valley, the local Adventist market, and they have a board, and we looked at the listings, and we decided to go check out this one house. We called up the owner, and went through the house, and realized that the house was in need of a lot of repair. And we said, no, this is not a palace. And so then we went back, and we were praying, and we just felt that as we were journeying through the day, God would just lead us to the house that He wanted us to have. Well, there are some nice apartments called the Spring Arbor Apartments that I want to check out. And the reason I want to check out the apartments is because they're very nice and clean. My wife didn't really care to live in apartments, but I said, let's just go check them out. As we went there, we saw the postman getting into his vehicle, and we asked him where the office was. And he said, the office is not located here. It's located in downtown Bering Springs, but the owner just went into one of the buildings and showed us which building the owner went into. So we said, well, let's go talk to the owner. As we went to the building that he had pointed at, we realized that the door was locked and that you couldn't get in. But at that time, a tenant came by and went in and allowed us to go in and introduced us to the owner. And the owner shared with us that she didn't have any more apartments available for rent, but she had this one house in downtown Bering Springs. And they were looking for a couple. They only wanted a couple to rent this house. And so we're like, sure, we're interested in checking this house out. And so we followed her car into downtown Bering Springs, and we pulled up to this house. And my wife gets out, and she looks at me and she goes, this is our palace. And I was like, I'm not so sure yet. And we walked around the house. She gave us a tour through the house. And see, I had been praying, Lord, you know, the house, what house you give to us is not so important. To my wife, she may be a bit more particular, but I just want you to give us a house that will glorify you. That when people come to our house, they'll know that you gave us this house. And I started to think that this could be the house that God wanted to give to us. We have our own dock in the back. And this is the view from the deck. And this is our flat screen TV. And I was having devotions one morning, and it was as if the Lord was saying, you can't outgive me. You can't outgive me. I live on a missionary salary. It's a little less than a pastor's salary. And my wife has chosen just to work as a volunteer for our ministry and also for another ministry that she's involved in. When we left the seminary a few years earlier, we decided to give a double tithe to the Lord after hearing a professor talk about how you can't outgive God and how God has blessed him. And we saw that we truly cannot outgive God. A few months before we moved out, we decided to give God a triple tithe after hearing another missionary challenging people to give a double tithe for 3 months to see if whether you truly cannot outgive God. And if God truly blesses you, continue to give a double tithe. And for those of you who are already given a double tithe, to give God a triple tithe. And we prayed about that, and we felt like God was impressing us to step out in faith, to go out into the deep, and to give God a triple tithe. So we give our first tithe to the local church, and then we give our second and third tithe to missions. How do we get through each month? By trusting the Lord. It gives us an opportunity to exercise our faith daily, looking to the Lord. You know, George Mueller was once asked by a news reporter. A news reporter said, Mr. Mueller, how does it feel to live hand to mouth? And he thought about that question. And then with a smile on his face, he said, it's wonderful. God's hand my mouth. And it truly is wonderful because you cannot outgive God. I want to encourage you to step out in faith little by little. Because if we don't exercise our faith now, if we don't learn to trust God now, it's not going to happen later when the Sunday law hits or when the time of trouble comes. Okay? It is now that God has given us opportunities to exercise our faith in Him. And so we could thank God for this economic downturn. It's a blessing. God has given us opportunities to trust in Him. In this little knot, a squirrel lives there. Squirrel must have had a rough day. Just wiped out. This is a squirrel on our deck. Then we have groundhogs that come visit us every now and then. These are our regal ducks. We have Canadian geese that come by every now and then. Can you see the turtle on the log? And the winters are beautiful. Brutally cold, but they're beautiful. And one day my wife was looking out the kitchen window and she saw this little squirrel, hungry squirrel. It was trying to climb up this pole, trying to get to our neighbor's bird feeder. So my wife quickly got the camera. She started to snap it away. And here's this squirrel climbing up the pole. And it made it to the top. And it's going in. And it slips. But it was all right. God is good. Friends, I want to encourage you, whether you're in school or whether you're in business, whatever you're doing, we need to learn to step out in faith. In our giving, we need to step out in faith and we need to give. And in our labors for the Lord, in our planning for the future, we need to step out in faith. Once again, to conclude our time together, let's pray for each other. Let's pray that God would help us to leave this place and really to take the message to heart and to be men and women of faith.